are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by your favourite Sweetest Sin, who is beautiful in his skin, David and Liam, and me. The real me is an Essex boy with his platforms on and an open heart, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Doing great, JB. This is a big one for you, isn't it? Today is just, it's like your Christmas and birthday all rolled into one.
This is something that I have been waiting for since, you know, we were lucky that we finally started the journey, but I've been waiting to continue this journey since we started. And I think a lot of our listeners have been waiting for this one too. Oh, what a day that we're going to be getting into today. But David, how are you doing? What's been going on?
It looks like, from your stories anyway, we both had a really big fun night out last night at different places. I went to push the button at RVT. It was one of those nights where the music was so good that me and the boys danced until the lights came on.
Fantastic. I mean, like, it was a real conflict last night, wasn't it? Because
yes,
it was like push the button was on last night, one of our favorite nights.
Yes.
But then I was booked. My heart was somewhere else last night.
I knew you had to, you would choose the other one. So where did you end up?
So I was at a night called Bop to the Top, which is actually a US-based club night. They're on their first world tour of club nights. And the London one was stopping at one of our favourite London venues, the Clapham Grand. And we know Ali and the team at the Clapham Grand make their night phenomenal. Some of the best club nights in London, especially if you're a pop fan. So it was this meeting of minds of the Clapham Grand's amazing nights with this highly anticipated American club night that specialized in Disney Channel nostalgia.
Wow.
It is your 2000s and, you know, some 2010s Disney Channel chef's kiss going on there. Me and a bunch of pals from work had to go. It was non-optional. Me and two friends dressed up as Paolo, Lizzie and Isabella from the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I'm sorry.
Like, oh, that's what the costume was.
I didn't get it. When I saw it on Instagram.
Our listeners are going to be angry about that, David. We've done a whole Hillary episode and everything.
Sorry, I thought you went as Zac Efron because the wig.
No.
Oh
no,
my gosh.
Paolo.
You were Paolo. Okay.
Sing to me, Paolo.
My mistake.
The DJ saw us and they were like, there's a Lizzie and a Paolo and Isabella. Get down here. It was literally, Paolo, Lizzie, Isabella, get down here moment. And I was like, come on, girls. Literally no time for like shy Joel, nothing.
No, this is the moment.
I said, this is it. We are getting down there. So I dragged them down straight up onto that stage.
You were on the Clapham Grand stage performing.
On the Clapham Grand stage and reenacted the iconic What Dreams Are Made Of moment from the Lizzie McGuire movie. No jokes aside, my whole life had been building up to that moment, David. To be living your Lizzie fantasy, guys, girly, non-binary friends, you know what a big deal that is. I had a flashback after. So not only did I always do that number in the living room, but when my sister Kylie would have her friends over, they would all beg me to reenact it for them.
Oh.
So they'd all sit down reenact this whole number. And I completely forgot about that. And then it came flooding back to me on like the way home from this club night. And it was so lovely to have that kind of silly childhood memory come flushing back.
And look at where you are now on the Clapham Grand stage doing that performance.
But we were there till the end as well.
Oh my God.
You know, when you're like, you know, it's a good night when you're like, that's it. Like,
I know the lights
are
on
more. I've got another 6 hours in me, which is rare. Cause you know, I like to be in bed early. I also just want to say as well, not only was it all that magical stuff last night, saw some of our lovely listeners while we were out and about, saw lovely Aiden, who's been listening to us since day dot.
Oh, yes.
Also a Disney fan. So lovely to get Disney Channel Grooves on with him. And then one of our other lovely listeners, Joey, who we see out and about all the time, push the button. He's like his own Southeast London It Girl or London It Girl, wherever, you know. Croissant Joey, we see him out and about.
Iconic.
But we need another pop night between us ASAP.
We absolutely do. And here we are recording the afternoon after. This is going to be a very energizing episode. I feel like it's already giving me life just thinking about it. And I know for you, JB, like hangover or no hangover, like this is a big moment for you getting into Jessica Anne.
This isn't a podcast where you come on and we go, oh, we're so hungover, da, da, da. This is high energy, I'm right back at you. So the boys are back on it. I'm sipping the Kate Hudson. Like, we're not doing a half-assed hangover ever here. So I'm back on the Kate, and I feel Kate some weirdly has in this skin energy. Public service announcement. I am coming to the end of my Kate Hudson vodka.
Oh no.
So if anyone's flying back from the States and wants to bring me back a bottle, it will be very welcome.
Anyone knows Kate? Yeah, that vodka PR. Yeah. Slide into our DMs. We are available for a promo code.
Before we get into everything today, can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Okay, so this review is left by Core5231. What an absolute gem of a podcast. As a 35-year-old millennial, this podcast is right up my street. It takes me right back to a time when pop music was at its finest. I was, in brackets, and still am, a huge pop music fan, so it's such a joy to listen to. I'm working my way through the back catalogue, and I'm really enjoying every episode. I've learned lots of trivia along the way as well. It's such a fun and engaging podcast, which I've recommended to my friends, so thank you very much. Yes, that...
Thank you.
That helps. Leaving the review helps because it gets us, you know, a bit more visibility on these platforms, but also telling your mates.
Telling your friends, absolutely. And I hope that it is bringing the pop music right back at you, you might say.
Yes. Ka-ching.
But yes, if you are loving what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. And as Core5231 said, tell your mates in real life.
You know what's really special? This month is actually 20 years of Jessica Simpson's multi-platinum selling hit album, In the Skin.
Wow.
I mean, what a time to be diving into it. This album has sold over 7 million copies worldwide. Oh, you have it on vinyl there.
7 million and counting.
Yes. Gorgeous vinyl there, JB. Love it. Also, shout out to our friend Adam, who told me he has multiple different international versions of this album. So that is a real Jessica...
As you should.
...fan there. What are Jessica fans called, JB?
I don't know. Oh, God, I'm going to be berated. I don't know, Jessica fans. What are we called? I mean, we should all be called Successicas.
I like that. The Successicas. Yes, we are manifesting.
But I think I need something as well. I need something that's like Simpson, as like a Simpson sister stan.
Oh, yeah, for the collectors.
I need a fully fledged deluxe edition both sisters stan name.
You went on the Ashley and Jessica podcast, didn't you? So...
I did.
Maybe you guys need to like collectively figure out.
Yeah, I need to figure that out. Yes. Big shout out to Leah. She runs the Ashley and Jessica cast. If you love the Simpson sisters, go and check that out. I've been on there chatting both about Newlyweds and the Ashley Simpson show. As you know, poor David Lim, he can only handle so much of me talking at him about the Simpson sisters.
Listen, I'm loving it. And I genuinely think every time, like this is our second Jessica episode, every time we're doing the prep for it, I'm just like, wow, it really is worth reminding people how big and successful our Jessica is. I mean, she has sold more than 20 million albums worldwide. She's one of the pioneers of reality TV, thanks to Newlyweds. She's a successful entrepreneur, one of the early 2000 celebs who really transform their fame into a viable business model.
Absolutely.
$1 billion empire. I mean, it speaks for itself.
What we're going to talk about today is the era that catapulted Jessica into the A-list. You know, she had a very successful run so far, but this is the time, and you know how I love the other Fab Four.
Oh, tell people who the Fab Four are in case they're listening for the first time.
In the world of music, there is a Fab Four called the Beatles, but in our world, there's the other Fab Four, which is Britney, Christina, Mandy, and Jessica Anne Simpson. Now, I love all four of those girls. I would say beyond love, adore. You know, those are the women that raised me. And as much as I adore them as a collective, this was her moment of being herself and becoming Jessica Simpson, her own entity. This is the era that the world fell in love with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
And it's her purity, kindness, talent, that aura, that je ne sais quoi, is what makes her her, and is that why in every era moving on, there's always this true success and that
public affinity. Yeah. We're jumping into the year 2003, but just for a bit of context as to where we are in Jess's career, after the massive multi-platinum selling success of her debut album, Sweet Kisses, which came out in 99, she had another album, Irresistible, in 2001. And, you know, you and I were very big fans of the title track. It still is on high rotation on our playlist.
Triple platinum. Diamond.
Diamond. Certified diamond in our households. But I think the second album era wasn't the best for Jess. You know, it didn't sell as well as the first album. There were lots of dramas behind the scenes and pressures from the record label that really wasn't a great time for her. And which I think kind of makes entering this third album era so much better for her, because it kind of feels like they finally understood how to market Jessica Simpson. And really the secret is letting her be her gorgeous, goofy self. This gorgeous all-American sweetheart, but with a real kind of sense of humor, like self-deprecating sense of humor, and letting people see that.
Album one, we're making this teen Celine Dion, Mariah Carey. Album two, we're making this teen Mariah Carey, if Mariah Carey was Britney Spears, you know, two trying to fit into two molds. Now is the time where she's becoming her and allowed to be her. We'll see that of a lot of writing from her, a lot of co-writes across the album. This is actually the real introduction to Jessica in a way.
Looking back, this must have been a very interesting time for her, because she would have been, what, 22 at this point? So, you know, a young woman still figuring out who she is, which is, as we all do at that age, it takes a moment to figure out. But also you're doing it in the public eye, where you're being scrutinized and compared to your peers. And it must be tough. And then also, at this point, we're almost 2 years into this whole Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson being pushed as a power showbiz couple. So again, her brand is detaching her from that Fab Four that you spoke of. But it's also attaching her brand to another person. So I find it very fascinating to be Jessica Simpson at this point, because yes, in a way you're being seen outside of the comparisons of Britney and Christina, etc., but you're being seen as part of another entity. Thankfully, we have the album to really get to know Jess.
Absolutely. At this time, it probably really could have felt like there was quite a long break between the last single of the second album, a little bit, to Sweetest Sin, which we're about to get into. But Jessica, beyond recording this album and preparing this album, she was booked and busy. And actually, your way of seeing Jessica Simpson would have been acting on television. So across 2002 and 2003, she appeared in three episodes of That 70s Show. And then in April 2003, she guest starred on an episode of a reboot of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
So in 2003, there was a new iteration of The Twilight Zone, and this show was really having all the it people of the moment in standalone episodes. Our Jessica Ann stars in an episode where she plays a babysitter of a young girl, and they are terrorized by this child's seemingly harmless collection of dolls. But do you know what the twist is, David? Can I give everyone the spoiler listening
of
what happens
on
in the episode? Those aren't just dolls, David. They are all her previous babysitters.
Oh, I got chills, legitimately.
I'm going to spoil this episode for you, but do go and watch it all on YouTube, because it's such a fascinating moment of time. So it ends, David, with Jessica turning into a doll.
Oh my God. Hashtag Barbie.
Hashtag the original Barbie. So just giving you all a little bit of context of what was going on the world of Simpson at that time. But let's now dive in at July 2003, David, with the first single of this album, Sweetest Sin. It's a picture of perfection, a vision of you and me. Now, David, before we even talk about the song, what was brand new information to me is that apparently this whole album was planned to be primarily produced by Missy Elliott.
That is shocking to me as well. I didn't expect that. I wasn't expecting that at all. But you know what? I think Missy must have some deal with Columbia because she works with Destiny's Child. She's done remixes for them. I can sort of see Missy Elliott producing like a very good R&B album for Al Jess.
I'm longing for it.
Missy does vocal production and harmonies very, very well. If you listen to stuff she does with Monica and Fantasia, I mean, it would require a bit of restraint from Al Jess. So I don't know how that kind of chemistry would work.
Obviously, we know now we have this album and what it became. But when that isn't even on the drawing board yet, you think first two albums, okay, so we've just left it with Irresistible, and that had Dark Child and some edgier moments on it. She's very closely intertwined with her label mates, Destiny's Child, signed by the same person. She's already had a duet with Destiny's Child. Okay, so what about if we try and do the vibe of like a solo Destiny's Child, much how like Billy Piper was solo Spice Girls? Maybe it was that kind of vibe, but that it moved on. And also there is a chance that this is just Wikipedia pranking us. But I choose to believe it as absolute fact. Well, ultimately, we got this personal album for Jess. We see it catapults her career to a lot of the world and to a lot of the UK. This is probably the first time they've really got to know her and know her music. So for the history books, it's for the best that it worked out.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, there's elements of pop, there's rock, there's acoustic. I mean, it does feel, yeah, like a younger adult contemporary feel to it. And I think it suits her voice. You know, there's even like maybe moments where it sounds it could be country leaning, you know? So I think they're really putting Jess in a different space rather than keep trying to force her down this path of like the white Mariah sort of concept. It's like, okay, let's see what she sounds like if we put her in sessions in Nashville or, you know, LA, or like just with different producers that work with different artists.
And what do you do when you are figuring this out? You kick off your album campaign with a Diane Warren penned slick track, Sweetest Sin.
I actually didn't realize this was done by Auntie Diane. Like, it just
that's
doesn't...
the magic of Diane. You don't, Diane. You go, that's Diane.
You sound like Diane's rep right there on the phone.
You've got to get Diane in the room for this. She's got 10 tracks ready to send you. Versatile. You'd never know they're Diane. They can adapt to the artist.
That's the magic of Diane.
If you're in that room and the first words you don't say are Diane Warren, then you've made a mistake.
JB, I must be honest with you. I think this single passed me by when it was first released. I always thought With You was the first single.
I absolutely adore this song. Jessica had to record this song twice. It covers it on Newlywed. So she records the song, and we know Al Jess, big, powerful vocals. The label asked her to re-record it so fans like me would find it more accessible, would be able to sing along to it, you know? And it's still got that big, powerful vocal, but they just needed it toned down. So people, aspiring singers like myself with big, powerful vocals can clamour onto it too.
She wasn't happy with that note, was she? I saw that bit in Newlyweds.
Fucking fuming.
A bit of Newcastle came out of Jess there on that phone.
I'm fucking fuming. She took Nick back into the studio with her because she, at the time, really liked his work as a vocal producer and thought that he'd be able to help
and
her.
And they refigured out a new way of singing the song. Yeah,
absolutely. And this is what pissed me off, actually, as a viewer watching it at the time. The song is also slightly remixed. It's a slightly different version of the song when she goes back to re-record. So we're led to believe it's about her vocal take and that it's too big a vocal. But the song is slightly tweaked as well.
I love that bit in the episode where she's like, I'm so hungover. I can't believe I have to re-record my single.
Me trying to get David on the Zoom today.
Stop it. I was here first. Let the record show.
No, that is true. That is true. I kept him waiting. But look, I'm a successica and I'm a little bit of a diva. I appreciate that. And I do feel like for Jess, potentially it was like, she could have felt it's like, okay, here we go again. Okay, you're meddling again. Luckily, hopefully it wasn't.
She calmed down.
Because this really did feel like a, no. Oh. The label calmed down. it's the really weird world we lived in the 2000s. As much as we love the positivity of all this fun pop music, there's also this weird narrative of the time of it was public knowledge that she was a virgin and waited till marriage, and this is what this song's about. I mean, that's her choice. Like, good for her. It's not really any of our business. But that is what the song's about, so therefore we have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, but again, going back to what I was saying, you know, we've had up to now almost 2 years of this huge PR push for them as a power couple. So again, the narrative with the lead single has to be all connected to the wedding, you know, and their relationship. And, you know, we're going to see this music video that Nick is in it as well. So it's very shaping Nick and Jessica as a brand.
And what did you think of this song when you first heard it?
I didn't even know it was a single, and I just absolutely would not have picked this for a single. Sorry, Jess. Sorry, Successica Babington.
All right. Welcome to the rest of the episode. It's a solo episode of Right Back At You. No, everyone's entitled to an opinion.
Would you have wanted this as the lead single, JB?
Maybe not the lead single, but I think it's a stunning song and it is one of my favourite Jessica Rann songs. I'm not going to lie and say 2003 because I probably went back, but by 2004... it has been a signature moment of my shower concerts ever since.
This video, I am frankly a little bit surprised. So the concept is Jessica in a dream, basically. Very Mills and Boone style kind of fantasy. She said it's what every woman wants, you know, your dream in your dreams, you're in a relationship with a lovely, caring man. He's hot. He's sexy. It does have this sort of dreamlike sequence to it. But I just don't feel like the way it was executed is the most polished.
Not only is it, according to Jessica, what every girl dreams of, but also 12-year-old Joel Babington also dreamed of a shirtless Nick Lachey. this isn't a podcast where we just outwardly will say everything's positive. This is not the approach I would have gone for the music video. I love the idea of the video. And I think when you break it down, I bet the pitch and the storyboards were fantastic. But the video that we got looks like something from a TV special. It looks direct to DVD. It isn't a cinematic music video masterpiece. So someone fucked up. David Lim, what would you have done for the music video?
Now he's throwing this question to me after the last three episodes of me springing it on him. Let's say we go with Jess's concept of, you know, this dream fantasy, this perfect man situation. I would have probably gone to the more intimate, at home, in bed, natural kind of shots. Something more, lots of creams, sheets, you know. Make it look more like a perfume commercial.
And then it could have released a fragrance at the same time. Intimate by Jessica Simpson.
The mood board is Jo Malone. What would you have done?
I now thought about this. In my notes, after, as you say, three episodes of you asking me, I would say we are going very sophisticated. We're going very cinematic, but we're also going simple. Knowing what the brand is doing at this time and what they want, I would incorporate some footage from their wedding as cutaway shots. It isn't about showing skin. We can be sexy, but in a very sophisticated way.
In a Wesley Clear, we don't have to take our clothes off.
You've got your brand new single, which is about being a woman. It's about being married, losing your virginity. Do you know what is the perfect place to perform this song, David?
Miss Teen USA.
Miss Teen USA!
I have to say, she looks absolutely incredible. Stunning. Come on, power ballad, Barbie.
That is the look I would have brought to the music video.
Oh, that kind of, yeah, pull back the hair.
Long
in a very
dress,
chic
pull
bun.
Back hair.
Yeah, that chic bun is really like giving you classic, like Southern Belle.
Absolutely. So I think it unofficially did go from lead single to buzz single in a way. So the only chart we have for this is the US Pop Songs Billboard chart, where it peaked at number 37. So 19th of August, 2003. We have the release of Jessica Ann Simpson's third album, In This Skin. We also had the first episode air of MTV's Newlyweds.
Wow, what a day it is for Team Jess. I mean, that poor press assistant working in the office, like collating coverage. It's like, where do you begin? Album reviews, previews, TV listings, TV guys, where do you go?
So before we get into the album, let's quickly touch on Newlyweds, if that's okay,
yeah,
David.
Yeah, absolutely, because that really sets the scene for this whole era. So yeah, let's do Newlyweds first.
I think it's such an interesting choice to do first episode airs the same day as the album release.
I think it's clever, don't you?
I think on paper it's clever, but I think it was a mistake.
Because the album didn't get a chance to...
The album didn't get a push. Whereas if it had been on for 10 weeks before, or even 4 weeks, that's promo.
The Ashley Simpson formula. So maybe they learned...
They did.
Papa Joe learned from doing this, which is probably why With You got such a big moment, because that was several months down the line. But maybe they were also, the label was probably also thinking, you know what, let the wave, let the celebrity of Jessica Simpson sell this album. Maybe that's what they were hoping for first week. If you're seeing her on MTV, you're going to the shops, you're seeing Jessica CD there, you might just go, okay, might just check this out. You know, get it while it's hot. Yeah, might.
We need to turn that might into a I need that album.
Successica Babington once again holding... this emergency meeting.
He's successor not good in the boardroom.
Yeah, he's not satisfied. He can't be dealing with might.
How do we turn that might into a need?
This is like a whole new character now. We've done away with Tommy Mottola, and now it's like Successica Babington, CEO.
Yeah. There is literally, there's a HBIC gay at Columbia Records.
And that's you.
Yeah. Head bitch in charge. Why am I seeing in the emails, might pick up a Jessica Simpson album? She's a priority act. We need to turn that into a need. Newlyweds is uncharted territory. Yes, we had the Osbournes.
True, actually.
But that was the first show of its kind. But there wasn't this pop girl reality show formula yet. So a big part of why Jessica said in her memoir of like why they signed on to doing Newlyweds is because both Jess and Nick didn't necessarily get high rotation on MTV compared to other artists of the time. So their thinking was, okay,
getting
them
in a family.
Yeah, if we sign on to this show, maybe the network will support our music more.
Strategic.
With that all in mind, it took a beat, but then it quickly did become a pop culture phenomenon and turned Nick and Jess and brand Nick and Jess into household names, made them an A-list power couple. So far, we've just seen this picture-perfect pop star, whereas we're actually now seeing her as a human being. Heart of gold, comedic genius, ditzy, relatable, and all those things, I think, took her into the heart of America and the world. So, David Lim, did you watch Newlyweds at the time when it came out?
I think it aired on Channel 10 in Australia because everyone was all over it. I must have tuned into a couple of episodes at the time.
What was Channel 10 showing? Was Neighbours on Channel 10? Was Kath and Kim on Channel 10?
Channel 10 is like the commercial one. It's one of the big commercial ones out there, like an ITV, I guess.
And it's free to view, like every home will have it.
It's free to view. Every home will have it. Yes, Neighbours was on there. And I remember like Newlyweds was on a very good slot.
This is you in 2003 selling me a TV. Will it have Channel 10? Will I be able to watch Neighbours and Newlyweds on it?
How soon can the telly get here?
Newlyweds is on at 7. Can it be here by 6:30?
Now, what was really fascinating about Newlyweds is I read that it was originally pitched to be Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley.
Can you believe?
Oh, I think that would have been explosive if they did that. But
yeah,
because they stepped out of that conversation, Al Jess and Nick got the opportunity. So, but also, isn't it wild that they had never lived together, just got married, and suddenly the camera crews were in their house?
No. Wait, I mean, what?
I can't do that.
That is not the way to do it. No way. That's too much. Move in for a year first. Couple of years.
But then it wouldn't be Newlyweds, would it?
Move in before they get married. They'd still be Newlyweds on paper. Yeah,
just separate rooms because, you know.
Separate, yes.
Jesus is watching.
Yes. So you dipped in every now and then.
Yeah, because I was fascinated. I knew who Jessica Simpson was, but Nick Lachey, not so much. He was never really the big drawing card for me, but he was gorgeous. So, you know.
Yeah. You straight men, you have everything. So here, like, no offense, but you can just be like sort of ogled out. There isn't more to it than that.
She's Jessica and he's just Nick.
Yeah, they literally were the original. She's everything. He's just Nick. I watched it avidly at the time. I had all seasons on DVD.
And these episodes are all on YouTube now, right?
And yeah, now they're all on YouTube. And I've dipped in and out over the years. You go back and watch it now and there's so much of, it's such early days of reality TV, so a lot of it is so nothingy, but there are these moments that became, in their own right, huge pop culture moments. Everyone was talking about chicken or fish.
Chicken of the sea. Oh my God. That was iconic. I feel like that even made the news.
Pop star doesn't know if it's chicken or fish.
I mean, the original meme moment, the original viral moment, if you will.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, look, maybe in the future we'll do an episode of Newlyweds or something, a little fun recap or something. But really is, let us know, listeners, did you love the show? Are you still watching it? What are your favourite moments? There's so much. But let's talk about the double A side of the 19th of August, 2003. Let's get to In This Skin, Jessica Simpson's third album. The album did okay in its initial release, actually had her lowest first week sales at the time, but then with months of Newlywed becoming a phenomenon,
it picked up.
The brand built, they became so famous that urged a re-release in March 2004, which actually is when the album skyrocketed and became her most successful album.
And I think that is still the version, the reissued version is the one you see around everywhere.
Yeah, apart from the vinyl.
Oh, really? Oh, my Lord. Well, yeah. What?
It's because no shade to Urban Outfitters, but they're lazy. So basically what they did is, yeah, so they put the album out, the original issue. They gave you a double A-side single of Take My Breath Away and Angels.
But you want it on the main album. But now you've got two products.
Exactly.
That's cute, actually. I like the single. So, yes, shall we talk about the photography while you're holding up the artwork? The album photography is done by the legendary photographer, Tony Duran, who has shot so many celebrities in the noughties, Beyonce, J-Lo. Like, he is a really big deal. And I must say, just open up Google and type in Chris Evans, 2004.
Oh,
Flaunt magazine shoot. You know that shoot. I feel like that was brilliant. A lot of people's sexual awakening. That was Uncle Tony. That was his work.
Good work.
I love that it's more, we're seeing Jess in a more natural element. She's holding like a little pillow or something in front of her bare shoulders. So, and in the original album image, you know, it's like tousled hair, close up, and maybe like a beach in the background or something.
Yeah,
like,
wavy on the beach.
There's some beautiful black and white portraits here, but I think for a different album that would have been great. But this album is all about, you want young girls to pick this up and, you know, be able to relate to Jessica. It can't look too fashion. It can't be that inaccessible or elite.
Exactly. We need the girls to pick it up in Walmart.
So there's some amazing top pop rock producer songwriters here. We already mentioned Diane Warren, but also Billy Mann, who works with Celine Dion and Pink. Rick Wake works with Whitney Mariah, is on this. Matthew Gerard, one of your faves, who
legend,
works with Hilary Duff. Damon Elliott, who's worked with Destiny's Child. It does feel like it is a more kind of organic adult contemporary pop album. Yes, we have lots of ballads and mid-tempos here. We've got acoustic-y moments. But I think overall, quite a cohesive album in terms of what it's trying to present.
Yeah.
Also, heard that there was meant to be a Nick duet with Jessica on this album. I'm really glad that didn't make it because I just don't want that.
Yeah, don't need it.
I don't want that rammed down my throat again. Like, we already have the TV show, guys. Like, that's enough. And all the press, obviously.
Well, they were even considering doing like a duet album, which we just, and at the time I would have loved it. Like,
Tale as Old as Time. That will be on the album.
In the meeting room. You just like singing a bit. That will be on there. Another one that'll be on there. Because you could think there could have been a meeting and being like, okay, we want to get something out in March. Do we push a reissue or do we push a duets? We can rush a duets album. So I'm glad they went for an In This Skin reissue.
I really wasn't paying attention to what Nick Lachey was doing at this time, but did he have his own album, like a solo album?
Yeah. So the opening of Newlyweds is both of them like releasing albums, basically.
Right. Oh my God. Imagine if he dropped his album the same day as Jess. That chart battle.
Chart races.
Would make for a very interesting episode when they both get the calls from their respective labels.
Yeah. So basically the show, it's pop stars are rivals, but they're married.
Newlyweds. Obviously here on the podcast, we cover the singles as their own moments in the timeline. So we're pretending that you're that girly that went to Walmart, picked up the CD on 19th of August. You're listening to all these songs for the first time. Let's talk about our album highlights. JB, I want you to go first.
All right. I'm going to go with the obvious choice, but I need to go with the absolute big pop girl album track moment. And that is Forbidden Fruit. There's a world you want to know. There's a place you want to go. Take your time and love.
No, you were doing up-tempo, ow.
Yeah, sexy electro up-tempo.
So this is written by Jessica with Greg Fitzgerald and Tom Nichols, who both worked on Kylie's Fever album.
Wow.
Now, what I want to know is how many days did she get sessions in with them? Did we have other tracks potentially?
Wow.
You know, I would love to have like a little bit of a body of work where it's sexy club siren Jessica.
Like Jessica, like Fever, Jessica's version.
Again, we're back with this theme of sex, temptation, sin. So, you know, it is all within the universe of this kind of like, it's sexy, but ooh, you know, it's also a little bit sinful. And like, I don't know, I'm glad to say that nowadays we're in a more open-minded and sex-positive time in the culture.
I mean, we're in a slut-pop world.
But it's just funny, isn't it, looking back, especially with the narrative around Jessica and her Christianity, that, like, these types of songs would be authentic to her. Mm. And fair enough, that's what she wants to sing, and that's her. But yeah, it's just funny to see these lyrics, you know. If the deal is worth the pain, if you just won't die of shame, I am tempted to try. It's like, oh, Jess. It's just a fling, baby.
I wonder, do you think you could take these lyrics if you were looking to flirt with someone, just copy paste into a text chat?
Yeah, that's in my Grindr bio now. I know in no universe this would have been a single. It's way too different from the other stuff on the album. But imagine if it was like a Garden of Eden kind of
wow.
music video concept. Forbidden Fruit, you know, Jess is there, snake around her body. It's just like tropical. She's Eve, obviously, in case you didn't get the reference. You heathens that don't read the Bible.
I have read the Bible. Open book. It's fantastic. And look, we don't need more Nick, but if we've got Nick as Adam, I'm more than fine with that.
He can wander around with like an olive leaf in exactly. front of his bits. That would be nice. Yes.
David, what about standouts for you? Hit us with one.
I will give a shout out to the title track, In This Skin. This should have been on every Dove commercial in the 2000s. Like, I don't know who fucked up there. Like, did she have a sync team? It has so much potential. It is such an anthem. And I know it's cheesy, but it just really works for me, this song. It is like basic, but I love a basic bop.
But this is a huge part of why we all love Jessica. It's empowering other women, empowering other people. Because this is a song that she's written about how she feels in this industry and, you know, channeling that to feel beautiful in this skin.
So Jess was saying, I was 102 pounds and people at the record label were telling me that I needed to lose weight. The song is saying that I'm worthy to feel beautiful in my skin. It's something that every woman experiences in one way or another. So yeah, I'm gutted this really didn't get its moment to shine in the mainstream way.
You know how like Sweetest Sin is like more like a song written around a PR campaign, but also In This Skin could be that of like wanting other people to realize that they don't need to compare themselves to other people. You should feel comfortable in your skin.
I would have liked this as a lead single instead of Sweetest Sin. I think this is a lot more anthemic and a lot more radio friendly, and it's got a great positive message. She's got lots of young girls as fans that would really resonate with this.
Yeah.
So yeah, justice for In This Skin. JB, give us another highlight.
So I Have Loved You.
Oh, I knew you were going to pick that one.
What a stunning ballad moment. Apparently it was number one on the Paraguay charts, this song, which is phenomenal.
Not everybody has that. Life never asks you what you want. It's just gonna have its way. Sometimes it doesn't give.
Gives like singing out of the window on like a dark night and the wind blowing through your hair.
I mean, I was listening to it this week and I thought, you know, this could even be remade as a country song for present day Jessica. Because, you know, she's sort of headed in. We don't know what the new album's like. She said in her recent interview, she's genreless, which leaves it very open. But she's done a country album that was successful. So I feel like if she wanted to remake it in that style, this could really work. In fact, this was written by a country singer called Holly Lamar, who wrote that massive Faith Hill hit, Breathe. So again, very interesting from the A&I Columbia with Jess, putting her in Nashville, seeing what comes out of it, starting to get a feel for new avenues of music for her. Now, there is a beautiful acoustic live performance of this on Rockin' Eve 2004. And I'm like, where is this live acoustic version of this track? Because that is beautiful. Breezy vocals. Obviously, you know, this is Jessica Simpson, not Norah Jones. She is going to give you that full belt at some point. But she kind of eases you into it at first and then lets you have it.
Yeah, it's like bottoming.
Absolutely gobsmacked. I was having a spiritual moment here.
Sorry, David. Sorry. It's always one that brings it down. But I love, thank you, DL, bringing out these performances of album tracks. Gold star for emerging successor care, David and Lynn.
Okay, I'm going to give you another album highlight favorite of mine, and this will come as no shock to you, but I do love a bit of Loving You.
When I heard this, I was like, this is a David and Lim track. Don't tell me it's time to go. I think my watch is too slow. Please, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Maybe how will it hurt? It's got that more like
seductive, slinky R&B. I love a bit of that.
It's just a bit of like also like soul funk vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, I can also hear Janet Jackson doing this.
Yeah.
It's like I can imagine her in like a sauna, you know, moist skin.
The sun's out, you're putting on some vinyl and you're having a cigarette.
It's just hot and humid. Like yeah. That is the texture is of this song. That is it. Don't tell me it's time to go. I think my watch is too slow. I was like, oh, damn.
Which I feel like that could be like a B-side of a DL single.
A very strong track four.
Wow. Well, I didn't want to say it could go on the album and you go, no. So that's why I put it on B-side. I also want to give a shout out to Underneath, which is just another stunning ballad on the album.
A bit dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah, which I'm here for.
There's a lot going on here. There's strings, there's piano, But Jess said that she wrote this during a period where her and Nick had sort of broken up or were on a break. And then in the wake of 9/11, they realized, look, there's value in making the relationship work.
They went on a break because she was so young and he's a few years older than her. So it's like, you know, roughly like 18 versus 25. And she's like, you know, first serious relationship, want to date other guys, you know, and then this obviously awful events happen. And she's like, look, what am I doing? He's an 11 out of 10. Probably gone out with some dogs in between. I mean, like, nah, let's get that hunk back for a while.
Having that context is interesting because then you look at verse 2 and she goes, sometimes I listen to a voice that isn't mine. I disconnect from everything inside and I have made choices and wasted all the days I could have been with you. So you're like, oh, she was going through it at that time.
Any other standouts for you, Davo?
I'm going to give one more shout out, and it is the hidden track on the Japanese edition.
Wow.
Listen, we here Right Back At You don't play, okay? We go deep with our research, or so we like to say. There's a track called Fearless, gorgeous acoustic guitar-led ballad. I think this should have been on the main album, JB.
Wow.
I mean, I would even go as far to say single worthy.
Single worthy?
I wow. think so.
I think strong so. Album track. Strong album track. This is one that gives me track from Jessica Simpson, the musical. There's always a track and I'm here. This is like 3/4 of the way through act 1 or 2. It's like a transitional moment. And like, here's the song, you know. It's not an up-tempo, it's not the finale, but here's the one where, like, plot's moving along and the character development and Jess is singing Fearless in Jessica Anne.
Also, I feel like there is a little bit of a spiritual Christian pop vibe to this, which, again, you know, harks to her beliefs and her brand. So, again, maybe this could have been one service for the gospel or Christian radio.
That would have been a great idea because you have, you know, your Walmart bonus track, your Target bonus track. Could have had like the Christian
bookstore
bonus
exclusive.
Track.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Right. We should have been in the meeting rooms, Davo. We should have been in the meeting rooms. All right. So as we were discussing before, when this had its initial release, it debuted at number 10 on the Billboard 200 in America, with selling 64,000 copies sold in the first week. And this was actually her lowest first week sales of an album at that time. The re-release in 2002 took the album from number 16, shooting up to number 2, sold 160,000 copies in its first week.
Now, that was Jess's biggest weekly sales at that time. And for a bit of context, her second album, opening week, sold 120,000 copies. This is 160,000 copies. So it almost felt like a debut again. Yeah.
Of an out, like, this is so rare. A re-release comes out and has bigger sales than this artist has ever had in their career.
And it's a nicer artwork. She's smiling. She's looking inviting.
Yes, absolutely. It's the definitive artwork.
I'm going to pick up that copy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's turned that my into a need.
Successica Babington is happy now. This is a much more positive call.
Number 13 in Australia, 45 in Canada, 117 in France, 27 on the Irish album charts, 89 in Japan, 35 in Scotland, 18 on the South Korean charts, 78 on the Swiss album charts, and 36 here in the UK, which I believe...
JB, what were you thinking?
I bought it, darling, so you can't even use that line. It had the same peak as Sweet Kisses here in the UK, which also peaked at 36. But David, I did buy this, but I think the reissue was the initial release here in the UK, because With You was the first single of the album. I bought it, a legit copy, but I did buy it from a store in Romford Market, so I don't know if they're giving their sales to the charts. It's not the same as Woolies and HMV, but it was a legit copy, but it was from Romford Market.
time to chase them up to just make sure they're accounting straight. Yeah.
Hi, I bought a album off you in 2004. Yeah. Jessica Simpson, In This Skin. I just wanted to check that sale did go to the official charts. And if not, could you just let them know now?
Every little counts, as they say.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, JB, in Australia, the newlyweds mania was real. With you, ubiquity was...
I'll say that every time,
yous,
sorry.
I know, with yous, ubiquity was real. This is a platinum certified album there. It stayed in our top 50 for 27 weeks.
Deserved. So, David Lim, let's move on to November 2003, where we're now having the first release since Newlyweds has properly become a breakaway success. They gave us With You, which I would say is Jessica's signature hit.
The locals know it, definitely. And in Australia, actually had a slightly different mix that was sent to radios, and it was called With Yous.
Oh, stop it.
Your
my
face.
My jaw was on the floor.
It's like, oh my God, he's coming out with some exclusives here.
Joy FM Pride mix.
With Yous. The Kath and Kim mix, yeah.
Really was perfect because it encapsulated everything that has now made her a huge A-lister, but the song's incredible to back it up.
Actually, come to think of it, as good as this song was, they knew they had this in the bag. They had the launch pad of Newlyweds. Would it have made sense as the first single where she's here singing, "The Real Me's a Southern Girl with a Levi's on and an open heart"? Like, people haven't had the chance to get to know her yet. So for a second single, people are like, yeah, you are. We know that girl.
That's our Jace.
I'm telling you, JB, anyone in our generation that grew up in Australia in the noughties, I feel like they would still know every word to this song.
So they bloody should.
High rotation on radios. This music video was on Video Hits, Rage, all the fucking time. And all the references that she puts in the music video.
Genius.
Even if you didn't watch the show religiously like me, I knew about what was going on. She really was like just sending herself up in this. And we love it when pop stars do it. We've seen Vicky B do it with Let Your Head Go. I mean, that t-shirt with Platypus.
I want that. So we've got With You, the music video. It's directed by British director Elliot Lester. And he's directed videos like Why Not for Hilary Duff and Tell Me Something I Don't Know for Selena Gomez. So caliber for the world of the JB. The whole concept of the music video is basically taking all these tropes from Newlyweds, everything that's made the show so famous. Let's pop it in a bottle, create a music video with it. Well, I think it's interesting here, when we were talking about the Sweetest Sin music video, it didn't feel cinematic. But this is taking a reality TV show, which is the opposite of cinematic, and making it feel leveled up in production. Yes, it's stripped back. It's in her home. It's showing the tropes of the TV show. But it isn't clips of a reality show here. This is gorgeous.
It's all set up. The glam is good. The coloration, the cinematography is good. And
brilliant.
It's just, everything just kind of looks like a photo. It is polished. So, yeah. I feel like maybe the labels are, oh, okay, we have a bit of budget now. We can loosen up the purse strings a little. Jessica's a priority act now.
So the moments that we have in this, as you were saying, there was Platypus on a t-shirt, which is referencing how Jessica pronounced platypus on the TV show. We've got to have the tuna in it. We need the chicken of the sea moment.
I wonder if they got like a brand sponsorship. Like, did they go to Chicken of the Sea and be like, hey, we'll get a product placement in there if you cover the cost of her hair and makeup or whatever.
Surely.
Shake that tree a little. Shake that money tree. I'm sure Chicken of the Sea have a few quid.
Yeah. Let's make this video look extra good with that Chicken of the Sea money, you know? other moments, we have the buffalo wings, we have like the housekeeping, cleaning, we have like the golf thing and like adjusting her bosombas. And we have, David, which we haven't spoken about, but we have in the video heavily featured her iconic Louis Vuitton bag. I love that you've got the Louis Vuitton in there and there's cleaning products in it. Jessica Simpson in this era goes so hand in hand with Louis Vuitton. Newlyweds, right, David, was about Jessica Simpson, her shawls and a Louis Vuitton handbag.
I didn't know about the shawls, which we'll come to in a minute, but... Ah, okay.
Like, that's Jessica. If you were going to do fancy dress of Jessica at this time, blonde, shawl, and the Louis V.
It kind of reminds me of the Jenny on the Block music video, where it's like, this is already stuff in pop culture around J-Lo and Bennifer, and we're just going to amplify it and turn it into a narrative within this music video concept.
Yes.
Very meta. This video, JB, did it win any awards?
It was nominated for 2 VMAs, David, in 2004, Best Female Video and Best Pop Video, but it lost in both categories, unfortunately. David Lim, this gave Jess big success on TRL. It ranked number one for 16 days on the TRL countdown and then was sent into retirement after serving 50 days on the countdown. It was also number one on Much Music. Hello, Canada.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam Klein. He's like every day, Much Music.
Texting. Now, she also performed at the 2004 VMAs. She did With You and Angels, opening with You. Our Jess sitting on a giant hula hoop looking swing thing that doesn't look very secure. I'll be like, get me off this. She's being hoisted up and gently just sort of lifted over the audience, delivering flawless vocals, sitting down, looking gorgeous, just being airlifted. And then she comes off, goes into Angels.
So yeah, this was August 2004, VMAs. And it's a medley, but it's basically the two songs in full, which is a real big moment for, really at this time, it's sort of like the darling of MTV. She's introduced by Mary-Kate and Ashley. This is like the real life moment of My Lunchbox, David. Do you remember we've spoken about My Lunchbox before? All the cutouts from J14, sellotaped on. You can only delicately clean the inside. You can't clean the bit with all the sticky tape on.
Yeah, it's not dishwasher friendly.
Absolutely not. Then you've got Beyonce bopping along, enjoying With You in the audience, and then giving a lovely clap for her good friend Jess at the end.
Us Southern girls gotta stick together.
With You did also have a B-side. We see this B-side flip-flop around on all the singles, basically, depending on like what territory and what version of the CD you get. The track is Fly.
Was that our B-side in Australia or...?
No. What a great question, David.
No.
In Australia, you got bang for your buck. You got a mini greatest hits in Australia. This Australian maxi CD single was With You, Irresistible, I Want to Love You Forever.
Oh, the greatest hits. This is, yeah, the GAY set in Australia.
What would be your big gay club that someone would perform at?
Yeah, this is her Greyhound set in Melbourne, yeah.
Greyhound. I'll do the new one. I'll do the one for the gays. And then I'll do the big ballad. And then I'm off.
Why is Jessica now like from Essex?
Look, the real me is an Essex girl. I said earlier, the only time I'm ever Essex is on this podcast. Speaking of like Essex glam, one of my favourite Jess collabs and the universe of Jessica Simpson product is Jessica Simpson hair do. And these are these like clip in
with
buns,
Ken Parvé
hair pieces, the Ken Parvé collaboration.
So iconic.
So iconic.
Again, she was a pioneer at that time because I wasn't seeing celebs doing like hair pieces and products like that, but because she's such a signature blonde. She teamed up with her hairstylist, Ken Parvé, and that put Ken on the spot, didn't it? Like, put his name out globally.
I will have a drink and then start eBaying, looking on eBay for hair, Jessica Simpson hairdo. No idea what I'd do with it, but...
Nice to have around the house.
You're just like, I just want it. As part of your mini greatest hits that you got in Australia, the sticky label on it is fabulous. As featured on Newlyweds, and then it has the 10 logo, and it says Wednesday nights.
Get that plug in for the TV series. Yes.
That Greatest Hits CD was worth it in Australia, David. Number 4 on the ARIA charts. Number 7 here in the UK. Top 10 hit for our Jeffs. 11 in Ireland. 29 in Canada. 23 in Hungary. 39 in New Zealand. Maybe they hadn't had Newlyweds yet. Maybe it was a little bit delayed of the airing. 11 in Norway. 6 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. And number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100, a top 20 hit for our Jess. On the adult top 40 in America, 23. And number 1 on the US mainstream top 40. And number 4 on the US top 40 tracks. Basically, slayage all round. So the year ended with Nick and Jess hosting the Billboard Awards. I'm sure in the summer, before Newlyweds had even aired, they weren't probably being considered this for hosting it.
I'm sure Billboard wasn't thinking about either of them.
And they're like, she just had a number 1 on the US mainstream top 40 Billboard charts. We've got to get her in. Following on from that, in January 2004, David, Nick and Jess co-host SNL, which is very rare that we have co-hosts. Mary-Kate and Ashley co-hosted, Nick and Jess co-hosted, but it's normally a very singular thing. Then we follow it up in February, that Super Bowl halftime show. It was an MTV Super Bowl slot, and the beginning of it started with Jessica like introing the performances.
Oh, so she was like hosting the coverage for MTV.
Well, she wasn't hosting literally the number starts, and it's like literally Jessica introing, like starting off the medley performance, basically.
Was she performing or was she introing it?
It's a halfway between. She's not singing as such, but she would be billed as part of
what
it.
What is the truth here? To quote Oprah, yeah, like it's like, did she perform? Did she intro? Did she like host the coverage for MTV?
You're
like,
isn't introing? Isn't hosting performing in a way?
I'm not trying to diminish this, Joel. You're like, no, but she was on the bill.
Yes,
she played the Super Bowl.
The bill said Jessica Ann Simpson. Back to the music, please, David. On March 2004, Jessica releases her next single from the album, a new for the reissue, a cover of Take My Breath Away.
Watching in slow motion as you turn around and say, my love, take my breath away.
This is the classic 80s power ballad from Top Gun by Berlin. JB, let me tell you, the speed I ran to our home PC when I heard this was a thing to get on LimeWire and download it, like lightning speed. Sadly, the internet wasn't lightning speed.
Three weeks later.
But I had to download it because Papa Lim loves a bit of Take My Breath Away.
So you were like, he needs to hear the Jessica Ann version.
Yeah, this is me like pitching
Jessica into
songs
rotation
to my father. You know how like radio pluggers take songs into like Radio 1, Radio 2? Like this is me like going into my pitch meeting. It's like, okay, this week's agenda, we're putting forward the new Jessica Ann.
And don't switch off there, Dad. It's a cover of Take My Breath Away.
Every Malaysian dad loves a bit of karaoke with Take My Breath Away. With Malaysian uncles, it's Take My Breath Away or Unchained Melody. Like, those two are, like, evergreen, top two on the Malaysian karaoke charts. I needed my father to hear this song and see if he would vibe to it.
Did he?
I think he was kind of like, oh, okay, like, you know, typical dads with no emotional feedback. You know, you send these long WhatsApp messages and you get, like,
thumbs up
emoji. But I was having that in person in the flesh.
So, David, I personally think this is a stunning cover. You know, there are two covers on this album, and this is the one.
This is a cinematic video. Oh, I think this is one of her best videos.
This is one of her best videos. And you know why, David? Well, because it's Jess. But also, Jess meet with equal talented in the director's side, Chris Applebaum. Now, he is a legend as a director, directed for the likes of Britney, Rihanna, Ali and AJ's potential breakup song. Chris, you are gatekeeping the original Ashley Tisdale. He said, she said, I know I'm due a cease and desist any day now because I keep DMing you on Instagram about it, but leak it, Chris, leak it. But you have given us this stunning music video for our Jess. Jess driving in the desert, looking gorgeous, roadside diner scenes. It's all going on.
It's very classic Americana music video. You know, you've got that kind of abandoned gas station. She's pumping gas. That diner by the freeway, as you said, you know, the jukebox in the corner. And also like this kind of hot sun glisten on the skin. In some ways, it reminds me a bit of Emma Bunton's What Took You So Long.
It does.
For a love song, like Take My Breath Away, I think it's really nice that it's solo. She's driving by herself, seeing these characters in love, singing, soundtracking the moment, you know? We've already seen so much of her as this brand with Nick Lachey that, yeah, let's let her have her moment there.
In terms of performances, Nick and Jess did perform this as a duet on Oprah.
Ooh.
And it was lovely. I do think, and take this with a pinch of salt, and listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this song did start its life as them potentially doing it as a duet.
Interesting. Well, didn't she say that this was the song they had their first kiss
this,
to?
This song is the theme song of their relationship. Great work from the Successicas here. It was nominated for Teen Choice, Choice Music Love Song, and it was also nominated for Favourite Remake at the People's Choice Awards. Didn't win either, unfortunately, but as we know, it's an honour to be nominated. So you may have downloaded it in Australia, David, but it still did well on the ARIAs, peaking at number 15, 20 on the US Billboard Hot 100, which is absolutely fantastic, 8 on the US Mainstream Top 40. In Canada, peaked at number 10 and 30 on their two respective charts.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. 18 in France, 43 in Sweden. Now, it's not on the official charts, and I don't recall it being released as a single here. Wikipedia is telling me 159 here in the UK. Maybe that's on imports or something. Moving on, in the next month, April 2004, we had the Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson Variety Hour. Now, this is an hour-long special hosted by these two legends. And this is giving you real throwback to Sonny and Cher vibes, Brady Bunch Variety Hour vibes, Nick and Jess hosting, singing, dancing, sketches. This is the sort of thing I live for.
So thanks for sharing that link with me. It is on YouTube, guys, if you want to check it out. There is a hilarious Mickey Mouse Club spoof.
It's as if adult Jessica was cast in Mickey Mouse Club back then with all those kids and is finally having her moment. Comedy genius, you know, especially if the press and the narrative, they love to like bring up her auditioning for Mickey Mouse Club. Now she's in this place where she's really standing on her own. What a great time to reference.
She can poke fun at it, yeah.
And then David, following on from that, our Jess, May to October 2004, Jessica goes on her first big arena headlining tour.
Now, this was a massive tour, JB. I didn't realize it was 56 dates across America, but she's America's sweetheart. You got to get into all these like rural towns and like places and play for the people, you know? The name of the tour is called The Reality Tour. So she's obviously giving a reference to Newlyweds, but also as a concept, you know, you've got the gorgeous kind of pop star moments, but then there's a set where she's got a couch on stage. I believe it's the last set where she does With You and she's on the couch. So it kind of feels like, oh, I'm inviting you to my living room like I always do on a show.
And she has her giant shawl.
I just thought it was like a choice. Like I didn't realize it was a thing, like it was a brand for Jessica, the shawl situation. But yeah, kind of feels like, yeah, that type of variety show where you get lots of fun banter and chat.
This tour also had a Q&A section during the concert.
Yes, the fans got to come up, or competition winners or whatever, got to come up and ask a question.
Which I think is such a unique element and really tapping into what's making her a successor at this time and onwards.
Now, JB, this wasn't filmed for DVD, was it?
It was filmed for DVD.
Was it? Do you have it?
I've got it on DVD, yeah.
Oh, you've got it on DVD? I don't know if they released that on DVD in Australia.
Oh, it's an American import that I've got, yeah.
Oh, okay. Probably wouldn't work with the region lockings and all that stuff on our devices. It's a little bit different, isn't it?
Well, you just got to have a region-free DVD player, but this is not a technology podcast.
We cannot help you with your 90s and 2000s equipments.
Anyway, big tour for our girl. As the successor representative of our podcast, this maybe is one of the more unique choices in Jessica's discography. She's taking a Britpop song and she's turning it to Christian pop. We have Jessica Ann Simpson with Angels.
I'm loving angels instead. And through it all, he offers me protection, about love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong, and I'm
This song was already moving. Like, this is a global hit. But I think this song has been done to death already by that point. Like, every kid trying to sing at school would attempt to do this. So I was already wary going into it. Even I know technically Jessica can do it. I was already like, not this shit again.
Jessica can do it. I just don't think she needs to do it, if I'm perfectly honest. Whereas Take My Breath Away was such a wonderful cover for Jess. It suited her. It made sense. This, I don't think it works. I just don't think it's needed. And we do need to remember, though, that Robbie's so huge here, but he's not in America. His version did peak at 53 on the Billboard Hot 100.
It's not bad, yeah. And I thought Jessica might be the one to succeed that, but her version didn't chart better than that. So, but she did perform this a lot.
She did perform this a
lot. She really gave it a good bash. Maybe she just really loves this song. And it's like, I mean, fair, you know, everyone loves it and would still do it at karaoke. But I would have liked, if she'd given us a ballad already, give us an up-tempo as another cover, if you must.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever seen this video until today, but wow. Absolutely beautiful. Directed by Matthew Rolston, who did Madonna's Power of Goodbye and also Bootylicious.
Also Hillary's With Love. And Christina's Candyman.
He's a fashion photographer, so you know you're going to get beauty. And I just think we've come such a long way from Sweetest Sin at the start of this era. Now we're getting proper budget.
Yeah.
Her in this beginning shots, like very dramatic, in the theater, on stage, flowers on the floor. It's all, I'm like, yes, Jessica, give us a bit of a West End moment.
And then she ends up on the roof. Where it's looking gorgeous. There is the live band, the strings and orchestra and all that. And then we have the Doves released at the very end.
Budget. Wow. You know, Take My Breath Away was more like Americana, that kind of classic summery look. Was this like, you know, it could be a springtime, autumn video.
Whereas the other one was All American Girl. This is like fashion, boutique.
It's giving Tatler magazine. Yes.
Yes. Vogue adjacent.
We're not Vogue yet, Jess. We're working up to it.
And then on the flip side, David, in the month of still promoting Angels, we're going to stay in the Robbie Williams universe. In June 2004 at the NBA Magic Johnson Awards, Jessica Ann performs a cover of Could It Be Magic? Now, this was an amazing vocal. And it's brilliant when even in this day and age and someone that loves and adores someone, I still found a 2004 performance that I'd never seen before. I'd never even thought of a world where Jessica would have done a Barry Manilow cover.
And it's really made me think, I do want some disco covers from Jessica, like classic disco.
She's got it in her, yeah.
Let's get this brainstorm for a young diva-style Jessica album here. I want some 80s rock in there. Definitely she works hard for the money. I want Private Dancer, potentially.
Oh, wow.
Oh, these men come in these places. And the men are all the same.
Her sister's mother-in-law could have a collab on this album, Diana Ross.
But, you know, Diana's not a strong belter, so Jess really needs to...
Pair back.
Pair it all the way back. Down to a whisper, please.
So Angels David in Australia peaked at number 27 on the Arias. Very good. 29 in Canada, 78 in Romania. Seb bought three copies. number 6 on the US, Bubbling Under, Hot 100. And 23 on the US mainstream top 40. So bearing in mind we're at the end of the album campaign, it's still doing stuff. What I see these tracks as is With You's the huge single and everything else is like pushing you to buy that reissue.
Yeah. And going with original songs, I think would have been a bit of a risk, I guess. Whereas, you know, people know these covers, they know these songs. So yeah, it is more, it's safer.
So before I let you go, David, as a successor in training, there's a few more things we need to talk about from this year. As part of your training, in October 2004, Jessica Simpson and Nick Vachey recorded a cover of A Whole New World as part of the Aladdin Platinum Edition, which then in the following year was on Disney Mania.
I knew that that was a thing. It's too obvious of a duet choice for them to not do it.
Which begs the question, and the answer is no, but are they the Peter and Katie of the US?
No.
I think Nick could be the Peter. But Jess is not the Katie.
She's not the Pwicy, no. That's a different level of iconic.
Jess is sophistication. And then, David, November, we had Jessica's first Christmas album, Rejoice, the Christmas album, which I have on vinyl. This features Jessica's brilliant version of Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. I've listened to it way too much.
As I've said on this podcast before, I lived my life of, I'm going to listen to In This Skin and the Greatest Hits of Jessica Simpson, and I'm going to let that teach me how to sing. But it sounds like you've done the Jessica Simpson vocal training with some of these songs, David Lim, and I'm very impressed.
I've done the masterclass.
He's done the Jessica and Simpson masterclass, ladies and gents. Now, also in an unspecified time in 2004, Jessica filmed a scripted pilot for ABC called Jessica. Now, in that pilot, Jessica plays Jessica Sampson. And it is centered around a hardworking female primetime news magazine producer whose world turns upside down when the network brings Jessica Sampson onto the program as a part-time on-air reporter. It was filmed for ABC in the beginning of 2004. By mid-2004, they said, we're not going to move forward with it. The pilot has leaked online. So if you just put like Jessica Simpson pilot on YouTube, you'll find it. It is your typical American ABC sitcom workplace setup. Jessica hijinks ensued. I think it's maybe for the best she didn't get it because her pop star was so A-list at this time. And then that lent her to doing really enjoyable films, films that I love in the future. Like, yes, she had Dukes of Hazzard, which was big. She had Employee of the Month, which was big. But she had Blonde Ambition and Private Valentine, where it allowed her to have these cinematic comedic moments as opposed to doing a 22-episode TV show every year.
Why do they not pick another character name, given that the profession is something different?
Because this is in the world where you had Reba, you had Bette Midler.
Yes, of course. And Reba's not based on the Reba, obviously.
It's with that world of like letting the audience have some connection while it being a character as well.
Okay, I get you.
But it is really fascinating piece of lost history, so do check it out. But yes, that's where 2004 ends on our journey at this time.
This has been really fun. And we've covered so much ground because, you know, sometimes we do these episodes and it's like, yes, we talk about the album or like TV appearances here and there. But because this was such a pop culture moment, when you take a step back and look back on these moments, like 20 years on, it's mad, isn't it?
David, I really hope this has been an enjoyable experience for you.
I loved this. Thank you to my Successica line manager.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, look, you do it to me with Mariah and Kylie Anne. So we've got to do it both ways sometimes.
Love it.
And listeners, you know what that means. Next time we go back into the world of Simpson, we are going to be hitting that club.
Oh.
But who knows when that will be. But it will be a public affair. Anyway, you have been listening to Right Back At You. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Do leave us a lovely 5-star review and hit that subscribe button. And don't forget to let us know your favourite pop stars' middle names in your reviews. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at...
at LoveLimmy.
Until next time, keep nothing but a t-shirt on, guys, and stay feeling beautiful in this skin. Bye.